You brought your Bibles and you want to follow along, go ahead and be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, happy Mother's Day. I know today is an exciting day for many, but at the same time, it can be somewhat of a struggle. Just like Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. And on a day like today, we do exactly that. I know there are many of you that this might be the very first Mother's Day for you, where you have had your first child and you are experiencing all the wonderful joys, as Tom mentioned, of sleepless nights and dirty diapers and what other fun stuff happens in that first year as a new mom. Is it great, ladies? Wow. Crickets. Is it that bad the first year? For those of you that are in your first child in the last year, how many of those are you? Are there a lot of us in here? A few of you? Does it get better, church? What do you think? Yes or no? Yes, it does. It gets much better. There's also probably some in here this morning where this is the first Mother's Day without your mom. And for me, as this is now my third without my mom, my heart goes out to you. And I recognize that while today, for many, today is a day of rejoicing, and we rejoice with those mothers. For you today, as a mom or as someone who is missing your mom, we weep with you as we know the different emotions that go into today. But throughout today, I hope all of our goal is to those who are missing moms, to those who want to be moms, but maybe it hasn't happened yet, for moms who've lost children, and for moms who are holding their children very dearly today, whether it's a little child or maybe it's a pew full of children with you today, we honor all of you today. We are just proud that we have moms and proud that we have you here with us today, and our hearts go out to all of you and just hope that today is a day where you are truly honored and where we as children of all of our moms can just say thank you for everything that you do. We've been in a series for the last few weeks on mercy, and I want us to turn our attention with the idea of mercy in mind to our homes. One of the hardest places, and this is really kind of strange, to show mercy can be in our homes. It's very, very difficult sometimes to be merciful with the people that we live every day with. In fact, we do this so well. I don't know how we do it, but you know, we can be on a phone call and everything's going fine and we hang up the phone and we can turn our attentions to our family, whether it's a spouse or a child, and we can get into a major disagreement, maybe even get into somewhat of an argument, and the phone can ring and we can stop mid-sentence from being angry to saying, hello, as if everything is fine. We do this on the way to church sometimes. I know at least I did this growing up. We can be on the way to church on a Sunday morning, and this may have been you this morning, and if it was, it's okay. But we can be on our way to church, and we can be throwing things. Kids can be fussing and fighting. We can pull into the parking lot. We can be going at it, and we can open the door, and there's an elder or one of the ministers or a deacon, and we go, well, good morning, how are you? And it's as if we just can turn it on and turn it off. Why is it that we seem to be able to control our anger better with strangers than we do sometimes with our very own family? On a day like today where we're honoring moms, I want us to think about our homes. I want us to think about our relationships with our family, with our spouses and with our children and with our brothers and sisters and with our extended family. Because as we've been looking at a lot of different things over the last few weeks in regards to mercy, as we long to be loving people, we must be merciful people. In fact, we cannot be loving without being merciful. And it's so strange to me sometimes when people will say, you know, why don't you treat people outside of your home the same way you treat people inside of your home? And I've always wondered if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but in a lot of ways, and a lot of times I hear that, it's because we treat people at home differently than we treat people outside the walls of our home. Sometimes we treat strangers better than we do our own family. So I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and unpack a couple of different things. And we're going to move through these three or four things together. And hopefully this morning we'll be able to understand through Scripture how we should be demonstrating mercy to those who are in our homes. Let's pick up in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. There's 15 different characteristics of love that are mentioned right here in just these few verses. Don't worry, we're not going to look at all 15. But I want you to notice a couple of things about this because I love this passage. In fact, every wedding that I do, I take 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and I will stand there with the bride and the groom, and I will take the first couple of verses, verses 4 and 5, because I love the fact that it says it's not rude, and I want to talk to guys about that. And I will take the groom, and I will take the groom's name, and every time the word love is mentioned in those verses, I will insert the groom's name. And I'll mention this out loud. And then I'll turn my attention to the bride, and the last couple of verses, every time the word love is mentioned, I will put in the bride's name, because it's a beautiful description of the way that we should live. Now, with today being Mother's Day, I want you to notice this, because I think every single one of us would say this about our moms. Look, notice verse number 4. Moms are patient and kind. Moms do not envy or boast. Moms are not arrogant or rude. Moms do not insist on their own way. Boy, if that's not true. Mom is not irritable or resentful. Moms do not rejoice at wrongdoing, specifically the wrongdoing of their children. But moms rejoice with the truth. I love this. Moms bear all things. Moms believe all things. Moms hope all things. A mother's love endures all things, and a mother's love never ends. Would you all agree with that? Absolutely. The beautiful picture of a mom's love is that of God's love for us. And it's the kind of love that we should have in our families. And it's the kind of love that we get to see by being merciful towards each other. Because mercy really is love in action. It's the way that love is displayed. In a lot of ways, mercy is undeserved kindness. It's treating somebody a certain way, maybe when they don't even deserve it. And we're going to look at that this morning. But I want us to unpack these few verses with this idea, especially how all of us on a day like today, when we're already thinking about mom and we're already thinking about our homes and our families, of how we can go home today and this week and the remainder of this month and the remainder of this year and for the rest of our lives, truly demonstrate mercy to the people who are in our families. The first way that we do this is by overlooking irritations and offenses. We demonstrate mercy at home by overlooking irritations and offenses. Right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you see this in verse 5. The fact that love is not rude, it does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. This idea that love is not angry, some of your translations have. It's overlooking the irritations and the offenses. Many families today are buried under just this constant struggle of just nitpicking and nagging at one another because of all the different irritations and offenses that happen when you put people close together. You know, I can remember growing up in my family, having a sister that was 5.5 years younger than I was, and another sister who was 7.5 years younger than I was. It seemed like for about 18 years, there was nothing but conflict in my house. I don't know what it was. Maybe on Mother's Day, we would calm down and we would treat Mom with respect and we would try to get along to make Mom happy, you know, and we would try to do all these, and maybe on Father's Day, but not really, more Mother's Day. Father's Day, we didn't care, but Mother's Day, we did care. But the struggle is this, when you talk about mercy, and you talk about the way that we relate to one another, and the way that we build just these beautiful relationships in our homes. You know, the whole God and country politics and doctrine that you hear in our world today is a stretch from Scripture. It really is. But there's one thing, if you want to make this country great again, it starts with making families great again. It starts with saying that as for me and my house, we are going to serve who? The Lord. It starts with moms and dads and children recognizing that the secret to greatness is not a great country. The secret to greatness is a great family. If we would spend as much time praying for moms and dads as we do for political leaders, and if we would spend as much time praying for children and brothers and sisters as we did for all the other things, and we spent all the time in the world focusing on building great families, the result of that would be countries and nations and states and cities becoming great again. It's almost as if we skip all the steps and we want to go to the end result and we say we want to have a country that goes back to God. And that's a great thing to think about. But the truth of the matter is that is a result of families putting God at the heart of what they do. And if God is going to be at the heart of our relationships at home, we're going to have to learn to be merciful with one another. And I want you to notice a couple of these passages in the Old Testament. Go and notice Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, beginning in verse 9. This idea of overlooking these just irritations that happen in a home. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Other words, love forgets mistakes. But someone who nags about them over and over again separates close friends. Notice, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Notice right there in Proverbs 17, turn over a page and notice Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Good sense or wisdom makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. You know, this idea of easily offended. Now, I don't know if you're somebody that's easily offended or not, but normally that is a characteristic of somebody who is still growing. When we find ourselves easily offended by things, we're struggling with this idea of mercy because we're easily offended by people's irritations and offenses. I don't know about you, but somebody who's easily offended is not somebody that's very easy to be around because you never really know how they're going to react when things are said or done. And if that happens in your home, it moves me to the second thing right here. If we're going to demonstrate mercy at home, not only must we overlook irritations and offenses, we must be kind. Be kind to people even when they may not deserve it. Notice right here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love is patient. Patient. Patience and kindness go together all day long. It is absolutely impossible to be kind to people if you cannot be patient with people. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Notice verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Every family has, and I mean extended family, has what I call VDPs. How many of you want to be a VDP before you find out what it is? Anybody want to be one? Good. VDP stands for very draining people. Every family has these kind of people. And I mean, they're in your homes, they're in your extended families. These are the kind of people that have to be right. These are the kind of people that are abrasive. They can be abusive. They're very self-centered. They're very domineering. They're very controlling. They are the ones that get to decide where you eat, when you eat, where you go on vacation, what kind of music you listen to. They're the ones that when you don't cut the watermelon the right way, they get upset. You know these kind of people, right? Don't look at them if they're in here, but you know these kind of people, right? Every family has these kind of people. And guess what? When you go home and look in the mirror, it might be you. These are the very people that we have to be kind to. These are the very people that we have to be merciful with. Notice a couple of these different passages. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. How do you do this? Specifically when these people are being abrasive and these people are being, you know, just domineering and controlling and self-centered and everything's got to be about them and they're draining you completely. How do you deal with that? Notice this. And we encourage you, brothers, verse 14, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Notice Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Different translations have to those who are in need. When it is in your power to do it. In other words, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Not everybody is going to deserve your kindness. But guess what? We're still called to be kind. I want you to notice one more way that we show mercy. Then we're going to wrap it up with the last one, and that is this. We also demonstrate mercy at home by letting go of past hurts. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13, I've got the English Standard Version, but I love the NIV. The latter part of verse 5 reads, love keeps no records of wrong. Do you do that? Do you keep a record of wrong? You know the whole story of how people get historical on you when they get in an argument, right? Not hysterical, historical. And they can begin to recount all the many things that you've done throughout all the many years of being a part of that family. Maybe it's a spouse and you've been married 50 years. If you've been married 50 years, I guarantee you, I haven't, but I'm going to guarantee this. I don't think I'm going out on a limb too far. There's probably a long list of things that you could, if you wanted to, keep up with that maybe you've been hurt by. I'm just guessing. Because I've been married, and my list is pretty long. And it's easy, if we're not careful, to keep a record. Let me ask you this for a second. I didn't mention this at the first service. Just thought of this. Let me ask you. What would happen in every single one of our marriages right now if we had the almighty erase button and we could just delete all the negative bad stuff, all the things that had hurt us as husbands and wives, if we could just delete it today and it was as if it had never happened? Do you think our marriages would get any better? Yes or no? What do you think? Yes or no? Church, it's okay. Yes or no? Yes? Yes. Let's take it another step. Church, if we're truly going to be loving people and we're going to be people who are merciful with each other, if we could just have the almighty delete button and say, you know what, we are going to let go of everything that has ever happened between us as brothers and sisters, as a family, since we are a family of God, and we could just delete it, and everything was just let go, and we could just move on, do you think our relationships would get better? Yes or no? What do you think? Yes. Here's the thing. We need to learn to delete it and not repeat it. We need to learn to let go of things in our homes. We need to learn to let go of the hurt that maybe our spouses have caused us. We need to learn to let go of the hurt that maybe our children have caused us, or maybe we as parents have caused children. If we could just learn to let go. If we could just learn to say, you know what? God loves me so much that He's willing to forgive me and to let go of my sin. He's willing to let go of the hurt that I've caused Him because I haven't been living a life full of gratitude for the cross, for the crucifixion of His Son. But because I've asked Him to forgive me and He's let it go, how much more should I be willing to let it go with my family? And even more so as a family of God. You see, here's what we do sometimes with hurt. What we end up doing with hurt, if we don't forget it and we don't let it go, we end up rehearsing it, which is where we keep playing it over and over in our mind. And once we get through rehearsing it, then it builds up resentment in our life. And then the most dangerous thing that we do is we end up using that hurt as a relational tool, a relational weapon of where we withhold and where we mistreat and where we become bitter and where we, I mean, it's amazing to me when you look at all of these different passages, but if you notice, if you will, notice let's pick up in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It's amazing to see this idea that love is not rude, but I want you to notice the last thing real quick, and that is this. We demonstrate mercy at home by ultimately believing that God is working in the lives of other people. Believing that God is working in the lives of other people. If you notice right here in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Faith, mercy, and love all go together. They all play a beautiful part together. And in order to be able to have mercy with people, we have to truly believe that God is still working. Do you believe that God is still working in our world? Yes or no? Absolutely. I believe God is at work in every single person's life. Now, some people may be trying to reject what God is trying to do in their life, but I believe that God is still working in the lives of everybody. He's trying His best to redeem the entire world. He wants people to come to know Him. He wants people to come to know who His Son is. He wants people to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes unto Him except through His Son. He wants people to know this. He's still working in the lives of everybody in our families. Here's the thing. Do we truly want to see the best in people? Because when we look at people, we either see people in one of two places. We either see people and say, you know what? They still have a long way to go. Or we look at people and say, look how far they've come. And I pray that we look at our spouses and we don't look at our spouses and go, man, they still have a long way to go. I pray that we look at our spouses and go, wow, look at where they've come from. I pray that when we look at our children, we don't look at our children and go, wow, they still have so much to do and they still have so far to come. I pray that we look at our children and go, wow, look how far they've come already. Because I pray this morning as God looks down at me that He doesn't judge me on where I'm not. I pray that He looks down on me and He helps me and forgives me from where I've been, but that He looks back and says, look at what I've done to help you get to where you are today. I don't know where you are in your family this morning. I don't know where you are as a mom. I realize today for a mom, this day's full of all kinds of emotions. Happy emotions, sad emotions, fearful emotions, scared emotions. Maybe you are disappointed. Maybe you are elated. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're hopeless. I don't know if you're here this morning as a family and your family is teetering on the brink of hopelessness. I don't know. But if you are, I want you to notice Lamentations chapter 3. Because there was a guy in the Bible who felt the very same way. His name was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah did something that every single one of us should do this morning, and that is he turned to God's love and he turned to God's mercy. And I want you to notice what he writes for us, beginning in verse 20. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind. This is what he's going to focus on. This is what he wants to remember. And this is what you as moms, I hope, are remembering this morning. And this is what we as a family of God are calling to mind this morning. And therefore, have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. It's the only thing that we need. Notice this. Therefore, I will hope in him. The best thing we could do today as individual children of God is to turn to God's love and to turn to God's mercy. As a family, the best thing that we could do this morning as a family, as moms and dads and children, is to say as a family, we are going to be merciful with each other. Because here's the thing, the very same thing that you read about there in 1 Corinthians 13 that God is encouraging us to do with one another, it's the very same thing that God does with me and with you every day of our life. He's kind to us when we don't deserve it. He's willing to overlook our offenses when we come to him and say, please forgive us, and he forgives us. He's willing to work in our lives every day. What would change in your family this morning if every single one of you in your family said, you know what, today's going to be a different day for my family. Today's Mother's Day, it is. And one of the greatest ways we can honor moms and dads and honor God and honor families is for families to say, you know what, we're going to be different. We're no longer going to treat strangers better than we treat each other. And what would it look like if every single one of our families, I don't know how many we've got, I think we've got over 300. If we had 300 families say today, you know what, today's going to be a day of renewal for our family. Today's going to be a day where my family, maybe even publicly, comes and says, you know what, we're going to be different. God, we want you to forgive us for hurting each other, and we want you to help us be the kind of family that you want us to be. What would it look like for a church to say, you know what, the God and country stuff, let's just put it aside because that's where it needs to go, believe it or not, and let's focus on families, and let's focus on what God wants for families. And let's say, you know what, to make this country great again, it's going to start with our family and it's going to start with this church family. Saying, you know what, I'm going to let go of all the hurt and we're just going to hit the reset button. And May 14th, 2017 is going to be a great day of deletion. We're just going to delete hurts and delete wrongs and say, you know what, we're going to move forward with a fresh start. Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine what would happen to relationships? Can you imagine what would happen in families? I guarantee you this. God wants all of us to come back to him. God wants to forgive us all. He wants all of us to forgive each other. He wants us to live in harmony. He wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to be merciful with one another. He doesn't want us harboring hurts. He doesn't want us mistreating each other. He wants us to be Christ-like in everything we do. So the question for you this morning is this. Are you ready to make a change? Are you ready for your family life to be different? Are you ready for your church family life to be different? Are you ready to truly be merciful? And if you are, and you need to come and ask God to forgive you of sin, I hope you do. And if you've never become a follower and you're ready to confess him as your Lord, repent of your sins, and turn and be baptized, raised to walk in newness of life and to serve him as a child, hopefully all the days of your life, I pray that we're willing to do that. Let's make today different. Let's do something different this morning. If you need to come, won't you do it while we stand and sing?